for Jesus. Thank you for what Jesus has done for us, Lord. And we just call to our remembrance right now that he's done it all. Because of him, we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. We come behind in no good thing. Your word tells us these things. We're the healed. We're not the sick. We're the prosperous. We're not the impoverished. We're the blessed. We're not the cursed. We come behind in no good thing. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. I'm blessed already. I don't know about you, but I'm blessed already. That was good. That was awesome. Thank God for our worship team. Yeah, let's do it right. Praise you, Lord. I want to remind you of one other thing. March 17th, which I think that's next Sunday, we're going to be doing an impact meeting. So I encourage you to be there. I mentioned this last week, especially if you're a member or interested in a membership, I encourage you to be there. We're going to be talking about those things. We did change the time, so I'm springing this on you. Instead of doing it at 5 in the afternoon, we're going to do it right after service. We won't keep you long, though. And there'll be some chow food in the cafe there. So, you know, I mean, maybe not just the normal stuff, but that way you won't be hungry, okay? So anyway, I wanted to mention that to you. I want to encourage you to turn on your expectation today. Amen. Turn on your expectation. You know, I'm not here. I'm not sure about you. I'm sure you're not either. But I'm not here just for something to do before lunch. Amen. I'm here because I'm expecting God to do things. Amen. Amen. Expect revelation. Expect answers to come. Expect healing. You know, I've seen people sit and listen to the word and receive healing. Had a guy listen to a message one time I was ministering. He was healed of tinnitus. That's pretty awesome, right? Expect God. I've seen people healed of like sinus infections just sitting and listening to the word. So just expect, amen? Expect. You know, Matthew 18:20 says, if two are, this isn't my message, but I'll get past the introduction eventually. If two or more gather in his name, he's there in the midst of them. Amen? So this isn't let's wait and see if God shows up. He's here. We don't need to see if he's going to show up. He told us, if two or more gather in his name, let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's more than two. He's here. So this isn't let's wait and see if God's going to show up. This is a he's here. Why does God show up? To do something. Amen. And the fact is he's already done it. But he's just going to manifest in our midst today. He wants to manifest in your life today. Amen? He's here. You know, Satan's a defeated foe. Amen. I was thinking about this during worship. Satan's defeated, you know. He's disarmed and defeated. Now, if you can imagine me, if I had no legs and no arms, I wouldn't be much of a threat. Well, that's the devil. He has no power other than deception. That's all he's got. And we give him all this oxygen, make him seem like this big, tough individual, and he's nothing. You know, the Bible says we were translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son. So based on that, at one time, he had us all. We were in the kingdom of darkness. If he couldn't keep you there when he had you, what could he do now? What can he do to you now? Man, he's just a non-issue. Let's just not give him any oxygen today. Amen? So today, I want to start talking about unmerited favor. I'm sure I won't get this done today, but I'm going to start talking about unmerited favor. I'm going to start this by talking about how God is relevant. But before we do that, let's just pray again. Father, I just thank you for your word. Lord, I ask you, touch our hearts with your word today and change our lives. Father God, we've become well aware over the past several weeks, Lord God, that power follows the word. Power follows the word. So, Father, we're expecting that today, your power to manifest in our lives, because we're going to be ministering the word today. Signs and wonders follow the word, and we expect that, Father God. We expect it. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Did y'all know that 85% of Americans, according to surveys, believe in God? Less than 20% attend church on a regular basis. That's a disconnect. There's a disconnect there. Why? I think there's a lot of reasons, but I think one reason is people don't realize the relevance of God to their everyday life. They think that, and largely, okay, not us, not here, but other churches, it's their fault. Because they've relegated God and your Jesus Christ and your relationship with them to just a heaven and hell issue. It doesn't become important until you get to the end of your life and you want to get into heaven and miss hell. And that's good. That's important. I agree. But we miss the fact that he's relevant to us now. Right now. He's relevant to your everyday life now. Amen? And I want to go over here to Galatians 1, 3 and 4. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you. Unmerited favor. Grace. Let's talk about that just a minute. I went to the cafe that Cafe Joe has out here, and he wasn't there when I went up, but I talked to Rick was there. I'm Rick, so I remember his name. Anyway, but I asked him if I could have a bottle of water, and I knew I could get a bottle of water if I wanted, but I specifically asked if I could have a bottle of water, and they said, yes. So whose bottle of water is this? This is mine, right? My bottle of water. So there, what do I need to do to earn that bottle of water? Nothing. It's mine. It's already mine. I don't even have to ask for it. I mean, they gave me the bottle of water. Now think about it. If I say, "Can I have this bottle of water?" It's like, "Okay, I'm confused now because it's yours." I didn't ask for this shirt this morning. It's mine. I didn't go and say, "Rebecca, can I have this shirt?" Because she'd have been like, "What are you talking about? It's yours. It's yours." When something's yours, you don't have to ask for it. All I've got to do is reach out and take what's mine.
That's right.
All you got to do is reach out and take what's yours.
That's right.
Amen? Grace. Grace is what God has done for you. Grace to you. Jesus has done it all. I'm going to refer back to my salvation ball. Hopefully I'll get to that today. We'll go a little deeper on that, but I used it to illustrate how, you know, we think of salvation as just for, we'll throw it to me. Here, Rebecca, will you do it? Go ahead and let's just do it. Whoops, I'm about to step off the thing. See if I can catch it. Thanks. We tend to think of salvation as just forgiveness. See, this, I have one ball here, right? This ball has four parts, okay? But this one ball has these four parts again. So there's salvation is like this. There's forgiveness, and we tend to, that's where our mind goes to when we think of salvation, forgiveness, okay? But that's not it with salvation. Jesus also paid for us to have provision. Provide. Provide, you know, the root word in provide is vide. To see, vision, to see, same word as envision, same root word. Provide means to see in advance what you're going to need. Jesus has seen in advance what you're going to need. He's made provision for you. Then there's also deliverance from depression and demonic stuff. And I already said the devil's not a big deal. You know, demons are real, but they're not a big deal. Amen? So then there's healing. Healing belongs to us. By his stripes you were healed. When did that stop? I can't find in the Bible it ever stopped. People want to tell you, well, this isn't for today. Well, just throw the Bible out then because it tells us it is. It says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Once he gives us, he's not an Indian giver. He doesn't take it back. Amen? It also includes, well, I'm back around to forgiveness now. So all this is included in salvation. Amen? And again, hopefully I'll get there. We'll look at that a little more in depth today, but that's the salvation package. So grace to you, all that's included in grace, all this that Jesus paid for. Grace to you and peace from God, wholeness from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. So my whole point here is God's relevant to your life now. Salvation ball, all that's included in salvation, this all belongs to you now. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Deliver us from this present evil age. What are you going through today? What are you experiencing right now in your life that's not according to what it ought to be based on the promises of the Bible? He paid the price to deliver you. Do you see that there? Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. That's the will of God, man, to deliver you out of whatever you got going on right now.
Yes.
Amen.
Wow. Amen?
Amen? Amen. So why should we settle for less? Well, that's the will of God. Who am I to argue? Jesus paid the price for it. It's mine. I don't have... I just reach. This is grace. This is faith. I take what's mine. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. So So again, to deliver us from this present evil age. So salvation, God isn't just relevant when we get to the end of life, and it's not just a heaven and hell issue, but it's a present thing as well. And I'll tell you something. I'm going to read you some statistics here. I like statistics. I like this kind of stuff. But, you know, the fact that God is relevant, the truth that he's relevant, that's not just my opinion. We just saw it in the Bible. But this other stuff is interesting. There's been research done on some of this stuff. This is interesting. I mean, we see it in the Bible. That's good enough, but it's fun to look at this other stuff. So I've found research from Duke University, Indiana University, the University of Michigan, the Centers for Disease Control, Barna Research Group, Gallup, Pew, and the National Institutes of Healthcare, and several national surveys demonstrate what I'm talking about, the relevance of God to our lives. I'm not sure they meant to do that when they did their research, but they did. Did you know that Christian students make higher average GPAs, 2.9 versus 2.6? That's significant. That's interesting. So, having a relationship with God makes you more likely to get higher education prospects. You have greater income potential in life. Christians have much less risk of depression. This is relevant.
Yes.
Amen? Christians have stronger immune systems, lower blood pressure. They have a longer average life expectancy of 8 years. That's significant. That's significant. And not just longer, healthier. God's relevant. It's not just a heaven and hell issue. It's for now. It's not pie in the sky when you die. It's steak on the plate while you wait. Amen. Christians have significantly reduced risks from alcohol, tobacco, and drugs. God's relevant. There's a dramatically lower risk of suicide, a dramatically reduced risk for committing a crime. Christian children tend to have better attitudes at school and increases their participation in school. That's good. Christians are much more likely to live a very happy life. They have a much greater sense of personal worth. Man, we have a purpose. We have a God that loves us. He valued us so much that if you were the only one who needed a Savior, he would have died just for you. That's what the parable of the lost sheep is about. The shepherd had 100 sheep and the one ran off. He left the 99 and went and found the one. What that tells you, if you were the only one that needed a Savior, If you were the only one that needed a Savior, he'd have did the entire thing just for you. Jesus would have came from heaven just for you. He'd have went to the cross just for you. Amen? That's how much he loves you. We dilute his love. You know, we think, well, yeah, Jesus loves us. You know, John didn't do that, right? He said, I'm the disciple Jesus loved, right? How do we know that John's the disciple Jesus loved? Because he tells us in the Gospel of John. The other ones didn't mention that. He did. But he was practicing the love of God. We can do the same thing. Just say that. Just say, God loves me. He does. He'd have done it all just for you. That's awesome. Praise God. Oh, okay, a couple other things. Much greater sense of personal net worth. Okay, one other thing. Also, Christians have greater marital fidelity and family stability. That's good. That's good. So there are benefits to just having a relationship with God. Now I want to tell you something. I just read you these statistics based on research, and that's really good. It shows the difference. But I'm going to tell you, do you think most Christians are on purpose believing for that stuff? Probably not. So really, all that stuff we just read is pretty much accidental. What if we actually actively believe for it on purpose? I think we could amp it up a bit. Expect. Yeah, we could amp it up a bit. Think of the impact if we on purpose expect this stuff for the promises of God to manifest in our life. Amen? One other thing that's of interest to me, according to the research, is being part of another type of support group or other religion does not have the same impact. There you go. Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, doesn't have the same impact. You're in the right place, worshiping the right God, you got the right Savior, He really cares about you. He really wants to make a difference in your life, and he's really relevant now. Amen?
Amen.
Again, though, we tend to think that what Jesus did only affects the spiritual realm, and that's just not correct. It affects this side as well. It affects you right now, your natural circumstances, your natural body, your relationships, etc. God's relevant now. He will help deliver you and prosper you and heal you now, this side of heaven. He cares about your daily life now. Amen. I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but I go to the grocery store. I remember when I was like, I don't know, years ago, there was like two kinds of peanut butter, you know, Jif and Peter Pan. Now, man, you go in there and there's 50. I need Jesus' help just to pick peanut butter out. Is anybody else? And then it used to just be Crest and Colgate. Now you got all these like 50 kinds of Crest and 50 kinds of Colgate. And everybody knows Crest is better, but my wife's a Colgate person, in case y'all know. But I'm telling you, I need help just in things like that. I really do. It's like, help me, Jesus, you know? But God wants to help you now, just day in and day out with every part of your life. And this, what he did for us about this is called salvation. I'll pick the ball up again here. The salvation package. Again, forgiveness, healing, deliverance, provision. All this belongs to stuff. It's part of what Jesus paid for. You know, sozo, you've probably heard the word sozo. That's the Greek word that's translated over and over and over again in the New Testament as salvation. Or saved, or some variation of that, right? It's the Greek word translated salvation. And it means forgiveness of sins, but it means more than that. Amen. You can study this out. You can look it up, go online like the Blue Letter Bible or a concordance or something, and you can look at this word sozo. It means salvation, it means forgiveness of sins, but it also means healing. It means provision or prosperity. It means deliverance from all types of oppression and whatever essions you got. Depression, oppression, whatever it is. And it also means forgiveness of sins. It's a package that a lot of things come with. Let's look at a few verses related to this here. Let's go to Romans 10:9. Romans 10:9, right there it is. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That word saved there is sozo. And this is a scripture we usually use to, you know, this is how you get born again. You confess your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you're saved. Right? That's the word sozo. So, forgiveness of sins. Salvation's included right there. Y'all with me? Getting born again. Okay? Let's look at Mark 5:23. Y'all know this. A man named Jairus came to Jesus because his daughter was at the point of death. Right? It says Mark 5:23. And begged him earnestly, this is Jairus begging Jesus earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, sozo, and she will live. So in one place it's translated, you'll be saved. Here it's translated healed, same word. The salvation package, according to Scripture, includes salvation, forgiveness of sin, and healing. You see that there? So, forgiveness and healing. Same package. You with me? All right, let's keep going. That's not it. I need to partake of my grace here just a second. Luke 8. This is where Jesus delivered the Gadarene demoniac. Luke 8, verse 36. Those people who had actually seen what had happened told them how the demon-possessed man had been delivered, sozo. Delivered, sozo. You know, again, I mentioned this earlier, but demons are real, but they're not a big deal. We give them way too much oxygen. Need to cut off the oxygen to them. We give them too much attention. You know, Matthew 8:16 says, Jesus cast them out with a word. Just get out. Amen. So, demons aren't, they're just not a big deal. So sozo, salvation in these scriptures, it's not, I want you to see, it's not just forgiveness of sins. I mean, if it was just that, that'd be awesome, but it's not. Jesus is first and foremost a Savior. He can't help himself. He just wants to pour it on. He just wants to pour it on. So he couldn't just stop at forgiveness of sins and putting you back in a relationship with God and getting you into heaven when you leave here. He wanted to do more than that. He wanted to affect your life here. right? So he provided healing. He provided provision. He saw in advance what you need. Amen. That's awesome. Provision and deliverance. Amen. God's good. Jesus is good. And Jesus is easy to receive from. We've talked about this before. Remember when Jairus came to Jesus and said, "My daughter lays at the point of death. You'll come and lay your hands on her. You lay your hands on her, she'll be healed, sozo." Jesus said, "Okay. Let's go." Right? He's easy to receive from. When the centurion came to Jesus and said, "My servant is sick. If you'll speak, you don't need to come. If you'll just speak the word, he'll be healed." I mean, Jesus is easy. Okay. Let it be done. Amen. He's the biggest hindrance to us receiving from God is we think there's a hindrance. It's like, oh man, there's a hindrance to me picking up that bottle of water. There's a hindrance here. How ridiculous is that? What's the hindrance? You were created to believe. You know, when the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus' garment and all that delayed him going to minister to Jairus' daughter, and the report came that Jairus' daughter had died, what did Jesus say? Fear not, only believe. Would he tell you anything different? What situation may you have that's at the point of death or maybe dead? Fear not, only believe. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise God. So, we saw all this in these scriptures, forgiveness, healing, deliverance, provisions included too. Let's go over here to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's grace? What he's done for us. Grace is his part, faith is our part. Grace. Unmerited favor. For you know the grace, the unmerited favor of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. This is God's words, not mine. Amen? I'll tell you something else. I'll let you in on a secret. Now, you know, in the book of Acts, when the apostle Paul was preaching, there was these people called the Bereans. Do y'all know what the Bereans did? They'd go home after they heard Paul speak and search the scriptures to see if these things he said were true. So check me out on this. That word "might," we think of that word as meaning, well, maybe. Jesus became poor so that maybe we could be rich. If you read this in the Greek, the word "might's" not there. Ain't no maybe.
That's
right. Baby. Oh, man. Y'all all right? Let's throw one more in here for free. This wasn't in my notes, so we won't have a scripture on this. I apologize to the media team. But I'm going to go over here to 1 John 2:20. If you got your Bible, you can go with me. 1 John 2:20. Do-to-do-to-do-to-do. 1 John 2:20. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "But you," who? You. "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things."
Amen.
Man, people will pray, "God, anoint me." Give me a bottle of water. I've already got it. Did y'all see what I'm saying? I'm trying to make this as plain as I can. We'll pray, "God, anoint me." Well, he said you're anointed. We just need to believe what we already have. And it says, we'll say things, "Are y'all okay? I'm getting some strange looks." Let's read it again. This is what God said. "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." You know, anointings remove burdens and break yokes. What burden or yoke have you got? That's not like the yoke of an egg. It's like a yoke you put on an ox's neck, right? Well, the anointing you have an anointing to remove burdens from your life and break yokes in your life. Man, let's just believe what we've got. You have an anointing from the Holy One. From who? From God, from Jesus. And you know all things. Well, man, I don't know. I just don't know. I'm going to tell you something. Here's the key. I really talked about this Wednesday night. If you missed that, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. It's online, I think, anyway. Should be there. But in your spirit, everything Jesus has, everything he knows, everything he has was downloaded to your spirit when you got born again. It's there. Okay? So in your spirit, your natural mind may not have it yet. But you know, the Bible says when you pray in tongues, if you're not baptized with the Holy Spirit, you need to get there. And it's easy to get there. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, amen. But when you pray in tongues, when you pray in the spirit, you pray out mysteries. And man, you know, so 90% of the battle, if when I come to something that I don't have a hold of in my natural mind, here's what I do. I acknowledge, okay, God, I know I have got the answer in my spirit. If Jesus knows the answer to this, and he does, then so do I. Because I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so am I in this world. Am I talking too fast? As he is, so am I in this world. So if Jesus has got it, I've got it. If he knows it, I know it in my spirit. I've been made one spirit with him. The scripture tells me this, right? So I've got it. So 90% of the battle is, let's get in agreement with Jesus instead of disagreement. Don't sit around and say, I don't know. Sit around and say, I know. I've got the answer. Because the Word of God tells me I do. You have the answer. So I just acknowledge, that's 90% of the battle, acknowledging I have got the answer. Amen? And then I begin to pray in the Spirit. I'm praying out mysteries. And I'll tell you what, God will speak to this peanut brain of mine, and I'll get the answer from here up here. Are y'all tracking with me? You can do this. Start practicing it. Do it. You can do this. Man, you can, you know, mine and Rebecca's thing, building kingdom winners. We've been doing this. You know, we've been in marriage ministry for 30 years. We pastored for about 12 years. And just everywhere we go, our thing is really, we want to build kingdom winners, which is code for make disciples. You know, the disciples are the ones who win. I've talked about that before. Don't have time to reiterate all that today. But disciples are the ones who, according to John chapter 8, they're the ones who experience freedom. They experience victory, right? So it's fun to be a disciple. It's fun to win. I'd rather win than lose, right? It's fun to win. So we want to be disciples. Why'd I go there? Why'd I mention that? I got excited and got off track. But that was good. You know all things. You might as well win. Amen? That was the freebie. Let's go to Psalm. Help me, Jesus. Let's go to Psalm 103 here. I'm going to look at a couple verses. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Okay? Think of that. All that is within me. There's stuff in you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. There's stuff in you. Look at verse 2, 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. Why does he tell us here? Why would he say, don't forget the benefits? Because you're going to forget them. That's why he tells you that, because you're going to forget them. So what you're going to be tempted to do is think, well, salvation, that's just forgiveness. That's just getting to go to heaven when I die. But we don't want to forget the benefits. We don't want to be forgetful hearers, like it says in James chapter 1. We want to remember that, hey, healing belongs to me too. Look at verse 3. Verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities. Psalm 103, verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. So in verse 2, he talks about all the benefits, and here he calls out a couple of them. One, he forgives all your iniquities, so there's forgiveness, which is part of the salvation package. It's not all of the salvation package, but it's part of it. And then he calls out another part of the salvation package, who heals all your diseases. So there you see, healing's included. He says, don't forget the benefits. Y'all might want to get you a ball like this and write these words on there and put it in your house so you won't forget. We need to be reminded of these things. Amen? We need to be reminded of these things. You know, Hebrews 6:9. This isn't in my notes either. I apologize again to the media team. But listen to this. Hebrews 6:9. Make a note of it. But beloved, he's talking about you. That's you, right? But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. He's confident of better. Whatever you got going on now, he's saying he's confident of better things concerning you. That's good news, right? That's good news. That's not bad news. If I read that and said, man, I'm confident of worse things concerning you, I'm thinking, ooh. But he didn't say that. He's confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. There are things that accompany salvation.
Yes.
Amen? What accompanies salvation? Well, forgiveness, getting to go to heaven, relationship with God. That's awesome. An anointing, knowing all things comes with salvation. Healing, deliverance, provision. Amen? That's awesome stuff. Salvation includes all this. And we really need to get the mindset. You know, think about this. God never brings you out of something without bringing you in. Think about that. He brought the Israelites out of Egypt and into the promised land. They rebelled against that a little bit and wound up wandering, but that was on them, not him. He wanted to bring them on in. Right? He brings you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son. He brings you out of sickness and into health and healing. He brings you out of lack and into provision. He brings you out of I don't know to I know. He brings you out of I'm not anointed to hey, I'm anointed. Amen? That's good. He brings you out of depression into peace. He brings you out of loneliness into relationship. Amen. That's awesome. And this is already done. We're not waiting on God. That's Selah. Think about that just a minute. We're not waiting on God. Another way to say it is God's not stuck. I'm stuck. First Peter 2:24 says, in part, by his stripes you were healed, already done. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenlies. Past tense, already done. Every blessing heaven has to offer is yours right now. Amen? Again, Galatians 1:4, we saw it earlier. Jesus came to deliver us from this present evil world. He provided this salvation package, the promises of God. To do this, man, I encourage you, establish this mindset that this salvation package belongs to you. Why is that important? I think you already see why. Because you don't have to get God to do it. He's already done it. And all we need to do is receive what he's given us. Receive what he's given you. I saw a bumper sticker one time. Maybe you've seen the same one. It said, faith isn't believing God can. Rewind. Faith isn't believing God can. It's believing he will. No. Hold on. I'm going to tell you something. Faith isn't believing he can or that he will. It's believing that he has. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I'm sorry. I should have telegraphed that one. Faith is believing he already has. I mean, if you know, the cafe can give me a bottle of water, I don't have it. What if they run out? What if there's not enough? What if they say, not for you today? If they will give me a bottle of water, I still don't have it. I got to go get it. But if they have given me a bottle of water, I can rest. Piece of cake now. I've got it. And all this is provided by grace and received by faith. What do I have to do to earn this? Nothing. It's mine. Right? It's mine. Y'all with me? I don't have to do anything. It's the unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor of God. And the Bible calls that grace. Grace is God's part. Faith is our part. And this is going to rattle you just a little bit, maybe not. Hopefully not. You don't have to get faith. If you're born again, you've got it. You're thinking, you have shown me that in the Bible. Okay. Let's look at Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt, already done, to every man, you, the measure of faith. You've got faith. Well, what if I don't have enough faith? The devil has cut all kinds of lies. Just thinking like he, but that's always God's deception. That's why he tries to deceive you. If he could stop you, he'd do it. He can't stop you. He's got to deceive you and get you into unbelief and defeat you that way. Because he can't defeat you head on. But you've got faith. Now here's the thing. Remember when Jesus walked on the water? Right? Okay. Jesus is walking on the water. He walks up and all the disciples look out there and they freak out. It's a ghost. And Peter says, fear not, it's me. Jesus tells him. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water. Jesus is easy to receive from. He says, come on. So Peter steps out of the boat and goes walking on the water. Okay? So he walks over to Jesus on the water, and then he gets his eyes on the winds and the waves, and he begins to sink, right? Y'all know the story. What happens next? Jesus grabs him and says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Evidently, a little faith enough to walk on water. So when the devil comes and tells you, what if you don't have enough faith, just say, you know what? I got enough to walk on water. I think that'll do a whole lot. Amen? Amen. Water, walk, and faith. Praise God. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. I'm going to wrap it up here in just a second. We're going to pray for some people. I feel like God wants to. He's already done some stuff. We're going to manifest some things. Amen? So Romans 12:3 tells you got faith. Oh, let's look at Romans 10:17. We'll stop here. Again, the grace, even this salvation package, this grace includes faith. Man, it's like he give you $1,000,000 in your bank account and he said, okay, here's the login credentials. All you gotta do is, you know, you just log in and get the money. It's like the grace is the $1,000,000 in the bank account and the login credentials and all that gives you the access to it. And there's actually scriptures that says that, you know, that we have access into this grace by faith. We'll look at that next week. But you have access to grace by faith. Faith is your access to what God's provided. And we really complicate it too much. But Romans 10:17. There it is. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now think about that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you were given faith. We saw that in Romans 12:3. But here we see that the word itself contains the faith for you to receive the promise. So if you read the promise, that promise you're reading contains the faith for you to receive the promise into your life. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, when you hear it once, you've sown it. And there's scripture to show you this too. You hear it once, you've sown it. How do you, when you sow a seed, what's something you want to do? You want to water it. How do you water that seed? Hear it again. 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 Water the seed. Water the seed. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We want to hear it and hear it. We're sowing it and watering it. And it will produce in your life. Absolutely. Amen. So that's awesome though. Think of that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word itself contains the power to impart to you the faith to receive the promise. It's a double whammy. You were given faith, the measure of faith. We saw that when you got born again. And then, man, there's faith in the word itself. That's awesome. One more scripture. We'll close here. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. See, even the faith is a gift of God. Even the faith. By grace you've been saved. That's, you know, forgiveness of sins, healing, provision, deliverance, knowing, anointing, all this, everything. By grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Verse 9 says, Not of works, lest any man should boast. A lot of times I think, man, I've got to pray enough. I've got to read enough. Nothing wrong with praying. Nothing wrong with reading. I've got to confess enough. Nothing wrong with confessing. I've got to attend church enough. I got nothing wrong with attending church. That's good. I'm glad you're here. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But when I start thinking I've got to do that to fill up some quota so that I tip the scale and I receive from God, I've gotten into works. And that actually just frustrates the grace of God. It cuts us off from it. So even those are all good things to do. We'll talk more about this next week. Even though those are good things to do, don't rely on your works, because it's just going to cut off the grace of God in your life. It's going to hinder you from receiving your answer. What did Jesus tell Jairus? Well, you got to confess 10 times, Jairus, before we go to your house now. And you got to pray for 3 hours. And fear not, only believe. Isn't that what he said? Yes. Praise God. I want to challenge you. Amen. God's speaking to you. God is speaking to you this morning. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? He's got good things for you. He wants you to receive good things from him even today. Even today. Amen? Amen. Even today. He wants you to receive good things from him. So I want to challenge you to get this mindset. I already have it. It belongs to me. Jesus is easy to receive from. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7 says that. If we think it's hard to receive from Jesus, guess what? If you think it's easy, guess what? Might as well think it's easy, right? Yeah, let's not make it complicated. Amen. Let's not make it complicated. Praise God. Well, I'm going to ask Rebecca to come and be. I want to just pray for a few minutes, and let's just let God work in people's lives here today. Y'all can stand if you would, please.